know you came here to say, if you a freak, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, so let me see you get loose. This is going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Matt Wilhelm with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I am also joined by Andrew Gribble and Jason Gibbs for the next 2 hours. And this will be the last show where we're kind of somehow figuring it out and making a radio show, because Nathan will be back on Monday as well as I. And to tease hesitantly, I believe we'll have Andrew Hawkins in studio on Monday, who is back in town and here at the Browns facility sparingly throughout the week. We'll grab him on Monday, but we have a loaded show with you today. The Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day right out of the gates. CBS Sports NFL writer Ryan Wilson wrote this morning that the Browns could be a playoff team in 2015. There's a link on CBSSports.com featuring that article. We're going to play his audio here in a minute. And I just want to get into, are we going to be buying what Ryan is saying about the Cleveland Browns? At 1:30, we're going to be joined by Joey Galloway, former Ohio State wide receiver and ESPN college football analyst. And a lot of that conversation is going to have to do with Terrell Pryor being a Cleveland Brown, making the change to wide receiver. But the news nationwide about Braxton Miller coming out without the discretion of Urban Meyer, saying that he will be playing wide receiver, or H-back as he calls it, as well. We'll hear later in the show, in the second hour, from Browns secondary coach Jeff Hafley. So, Andrew, we've got a loaded show, and I want to dig right in. Did you have an opportunity to read that Ryan Wilson article?
I did. Yeah, I looked at it a few times, actually. And I mean, what he's saying is a lot of what we've been saying for months about what the Browns are building and what kind of team they're trying to get together with, you know, obviously not having kind of the franchise quarterback prototype at quarterback. You have a Josh McCown who's been good and could be a very serviceable quarterback this season. But I actually disagree with the guys he focuses on with the defense when he's saying the defense is going to be better because of this. He highlights Justin Gilbert and Barkevious Mingo. And while the Browns would welcome great seasons from both of those players, I think this defense can be great without breakout performances from both. I clearly think Mingo is in a better position to kind of have that big third season than maybe Gilbert is, just because of a depth chart standpoint. But I think this defense is in position to be that good, even with these guys in average to lesser roles within that defense.
I completely agree. Gibbs, do you have that audio that Ryan sent over that we can listen to, and then we'll get into it deep after we hear this?
Yes, sir.
We do. Let's roll that.
Hey, everybody. Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, here to talk about why the Cleveland Browns can make the playoffs. Sorry, I could hear you laughing through your computer screen, so I was waiting for you to finish. But seriously, hear me out. This isn't about Johnny Manziel. This isn't about Josh McCown, who they signed in the offseason to help Johnny Manziel. It has everything to do with the defense, which is a nice mix of young and old players, starting with Joe Hayden, the cornerback, Carlos Dansby, the linebacker, and Paul Kruger, the pass rusher. They'll team up with newcomer Danny Shelton, the first-round pick who will anchor the nose tackle position. There's also last year's first-round pick, Justin Gilbert, the cornerback who struggled as a rookie but is expected to make a huge leap from year one to year two. He'll help out in the secondary, of course. And then there's Barkevious Mingo, the 2013 first-round pick, who hasn't been healthy for much of his career but is fully healthy heading into camp. Taken together, this defense, which finished 10th last year, we don't hear a lot about that because of how poorly the team played down the stretch, could get better, and that's certainly realistic. That means less pressure on Manziel or McCown or whomever's under center. You can focus on the running game, which had some success last year, and then let the defense do the rest. We've seen this in the past. The 2009 and 2010 Jets with Mark Sanchez and a great defense went to two AFC Championship games. We've seen it with Andy Dalton. The guy's been to 4 playoff games in a row. Has very little to do with him, a lot to do with the players around him on offense, and also a very good defense. So, yes, it sounds silly on the surface because the Browns are going to Browns, and they always do that. But it's also not unrealistic to think that this team, should they get to, say, 7-7 or 8-6 by Week 15, has a very realistic chance to make the playoffs. Don't forget, Week 10 last year, they were 6-3, led the AFC North, and then the wheels fell off. This time, maybe it's different.
Now, I got to think that a lot of Browns fans will take 7-7 or 8-6 going into week 15 with the schedule that the Browns will have just passed through.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's just because that at that point, you would have gotten through that four game gauntlet of AFC North games.
Yes.
That would get you, I think, to. So what? The last two games are the last game's the Steelers, and the one before that is Kansas City,
yes.
I believe.
At Kansas City.
Yeah. So you would have gotten through also the 49ers at that point as well. I'm sure most fans would. I'm sure almost all fans would take that, especially. And this is why we're talking about this, especially after kind of the endless parade of kind of really bad predictions that national people have heaped on the Browns throughout the offseason. For reasons I really don't know, but I think it's more of a – I tend to think these predictions come because of the recency bias, the way the season ended.
Yes.
The Browns were playing as – losing five in a row at the end of the season, you're playing as one of the worst teams in the NFL at that point in the season. But that wasn't the whole story, even though when you're in December, you were getting excited for the playoffs. It feels like that's how the whole season's gone because that was a long December for the Browns.
It definitely was. And we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. Are you buying what Ryan Wilson is saying about the Cleveland Browns? Give us your reasons why or why not. Why are you not believing that it's going to be different than it has in the past? And Andrew, I think you're right because we were in the thick of it. And what the optimism that I have is we lost Alex Mack, halfway through that 7-4 run. So right. We were surviving. We had a survivable football team. You figure you beat the Colts at some point. There's your eighth win right there. Mm-hmm. And I do think the recency of the you know, losing six of the last seven and the last five, it's a what have you done for me lately kind of world. And the last thing we have done was a win, you know, deep into the middle portion of our season. And that lasting taste in people's mouth is losing five in a row, looking, and also not just losing the last five in a row, but losing the games the way we did, losing the Colts game the way we did after the defensive performance, losing to the Texans in the way we played in that football game, having a shot in Baltimore, having that little teasy carrot kind of out there in front of us, led by Connor Shaw, legitimizing Connor Shaw as a quarterback in the National Football League, were all just little teasers, but ultimately ended in disappointment.
And I think the victory that stand or the loss that stands with a lot of people was the blowout to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Because of the national attention that game got, all eyes were on the Browns at that moment. And I think that 30-0 loss sticks with people so much more than any of those other five. And I think the way that the team rallied after that game, didn't win, but played pretty good against Carolina and Baltimore. But again, he focuses on defensive improvement. I agree. The defense was great and kind of held the team together near the end of the season, even though the games weren't going their way. But it could have been better, too. I mean, the defense could have been better at the end of that Colts game, could have been better at the end of the Ravens game. Weren't getting the help in the offense. They were worn down. But if you're deeper, like we think the Browns are on defense, those kind of breakdowns don't happen, and your defense can win you some of those games like they put them in position last year.
And if you go back towards the beginning of last football season, there were growing pains in this defense in a new system. You know, Joe Hayden was not Joe Hayden for the first four or five games of the football season before right. It just all clicked for him in this new scheme, and we saw him play as the Pro Bowler. And as I mentioned, I want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Are you buying into Ryan Wilson's article and what we just heard from him talking about the Cleveland Browns? And as Nathan and I always talk about, the template that Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer have created here, which is dominant defense, the ability to run the football at will, and strategically have quality quarterback play and not risky quarterback play along the way to keep you in games and force the plays that are made by the really, really good teams offensively to be made by your defensive side of the ball. And Gibbs, I want to bring you in right here. What is your take? Because you're the ultimate kind of like, let me see it all play out in things. What's your immediate take from Ryan Wilson's article?
Well, I mean, he's right. If the defense plays the way we're hoping they're going to play, I think this team is going to be right in the thick of things. You know, it comes down to quarterback play and defensive line play, in my opinion. You know what you're going to get out of everybody else. That defensive line got shellacked last year. Let's be honest. And you know, this year the pressure is on them to get results. And, you know, this team went out and spent some money and put a real big focus on upgrading that defensive line. I still think they're 6 wins, 7 wins. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'd love for there to be more. But I got to see something from the quarterback play. And if the defense can come to play and play 16 games, I think the defense got tired by week 10 or 11. And I think they ran out of gas. And, you know, they can't run out of gas this year. Even if the offense sputters a little bit at times, they've got to be as strong from start to finish from game one through game 16.
And the optimism that I have looking at the schedule and kind of knowing the divisions we play, knowing the division we play in and our two, you know, kind of non-divisional opponents, but AFC opponents, I have, and I'm sure we'll do this 100 times over before the season actually starts, but I have a splitting in our division. So that's 6 games. We will win 3 of those games in our division.
Right.
I don't know who, but that's my bottom of the barrel optimistic approach, is that we'll win 3 division games.
And that'd be a 1-game improvement from last year.
And they'd be a 1-game improvement upon last year. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say we split with both of the West divisions. So AFC West, Chargers, Chiefs, Broncos, Raiders will win 2 of those 4 games.
Right.
Okay. So there's 2. That's at 5. That gets us at 5 wins. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say we split with the West. Because as you mentioned yesterday, Arizona is a team that I don't think can continue to stay and play at the level that they were last year, winning 10 football games.
Right. If I'm looking at those NFC West games and you tell me the Browns are winning 2 of those, I'm picking both the home games. I'm picking the Arizona game and the San
Niners.
Francisco.
Exactly.
I think St. Louis is winnable, but I think,
yes,
I think that right on the surface is a tougher game than Arizona at home, right?
I agree. And then lastly, the other two AFC opponents that will play are winnable football games. Week 1 at the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium. Winnable. Am I correct in saying winnable?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Absolutely winnable. And then the Tennessee Titans. What is it? Is it week 2, right?
It's week 2.
Week
home
2.
Opener.
Home opener, Tennessee Titans against Marcus Mariota. Very winnable football game.
Yeah.
Because I thought we played horrible in the first half of last year's game to come back and win at Tennessee. But to have them here with Marcus Mariota, they're still going to be in a figuring it out phase, which is a very winnable football game. So that to me is what I've said all along, that this could be a 9-7 football team.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think that the key is obviously you take care of business in those weeks 1 and week 2. I mean, you got to win those games.
I would add week 3 in there too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Where the league the first 2 weeks are the league doing you a solid and matching you up with the last place teams in the other two divisions. Those are the games that aren't on the other AFC North team schedules.
Right.
I mean, those are the ones you have to take advantage of.
And I'll say this. I remember last year when the schedule came out in 2014, and we looked and we were like, holy cow, we got the NFC South.
NFC South, yeah.
You know, New Orleans is good, and Carolina's good, and Atlanta's
good.
Going to be really good. And, boy, that is just one tough game after another, and they ended up being the worst division in football.
Like, exactly. In years. Yeah.
So, Gibbs, as you say, a 6 or 7-win football team, is it – and I'm not trying to sway you to believe what I believe.
No, and
but the
by
way
the
I
end of
the way
camp,
I lay it
I
out,
may change that.
Could you see this team splitting the games in the division, winning 3 of 6?
That's the one area that I feel like this team has to take a step forward.
Right.
You know, if they're 8-8 team or a 7-9 team, okay. There's not a lot of improvement on the overall wins, but if they improve in the division, that's where it needs to start.
Right.
And if you can split, and there's no reason why they can't. They should have last year. Actually, they probably should have gone 4-2 in the division.
Right.
That's
going back to the two things I talk about prior to, you know, being on this radio show, but living back in Northeast Ohio for, you know, 3 years, is the number of times, simply because I'm a former football player, the people would go, what do the Browns got to do? And I consistently would always tell them, build a team that can compete in your division. And I think this is the closest we've been in a very long time, with toughness and resiliency and talent to compete on a division in all 6 football games.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I consistently said, and this goes back to Marty Schottenheimer, you know, early in my career playing for him out in San Diego, is if the coach and the players in the locker room put emphasis and overemphasis the same way Ohio State puts emphasis and Jim Tressel did on the Michigan game. Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. And in this case, it's got to be the AFC North, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Ravens. If you overemphasize those division games, that is the fastest, most feasible way to make the postseason is win your division. Because you don't have to luck your way in a wild card situation and get into all those tiebreakers. If you're sitting atop the division, which we were in week 11 last year, by taking care of business the 10, 11 prior weeks, that's the easiest way to make the playoffs and live out the opportunity to make that tournament, because you never know what happens in the playoffs. But,
and I can tell you that that's happening within this building, because when the schedule came out, I went to talk to Patton for our story about it. And I kept trying to get a quote out of him telling me about how tough the NFC West is and how that's a tough draw for the Browns. And every time I asked him about it, he just kept going back to the AFC North over and over again. Like, you know, everyone else in the division has to play the NFC West. There's nothing we can do about it. But you control when you're playing within your division. So I think that that is definitely being emphasized in this building. I can tell you that.
It definitely is. Well, we're going to take our first time out. But as I said in the first segment, we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850 or tweet the show at Browns_daily. The CBS NFL writer Ryan Wilson has wrote an article, and we just heard his commentary, that the Cleveland Browns are a viable playoff team going back to the way in which the New York Jets with Mark Sanchez made the playoffs, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl as a part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Ravens had done it with Trent Dilfer. The Cleveland Browns can do the very same thing because our defense and our run game is going to be that good. 216-578-0850, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs, Andrew Gribble, join in today, 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If there are boundaries, I will try to.